My favorite toy when I was growing up was a bright red fire truck, large enough to sit in and ride around. My uncle, the fireman, gave it to me on my third birthday. Unfortunately, the truck could only drive forward, and as ours was a tiny apartment, that meant I could only advance a few feet, and I had to step out of the truck and, summoning all my strength, lift it and turn it around so that I could go again. Not surprisingly, I lost interest in that truck long before my fourth birthday. The next toy to capture my fascination was a replica of Noah's Ark, complete with all its plastic animals. I never tired of lining up those critters two by two and carefully leading them down the gangplank so that they could graze on our luscious green linoleum floor. Long before toys that could talk for themselves, I pestered my endlessly patient mother with questions like, "Mommy, what does the giraffe say? What does the elephant eat? Where do the hippos sleep?" With such fond memories, you might think I'd be delighted with today's first reading about Noah. Not so much. With all the praise heaped on Noah, you might think that he would be a worthy role model for us during these weeks of Lent. After all, the book of Genesis glowingly describes Noah as a righteous man, the perfect person of his generation. Nevertheless, I am not at all interested in being like him. Let me explain why. Noah lived in an age when all humanity had been corrupted, when the world was full of violence. Things were so bad that Scripture records in what must be the most soul-crushing phrase of the entire Bible, God regretted ever having created human beings. God was pained to his very core by their behavior. In fact, on the whole face of the earth, there was only one single righteous person, Noah. So God instructs Noah to build an ark to save himself because God intends to wipe out the rest of humanity with a devastating flood. And how does Noah react when he hears this appalling decision? How does Noah respond to God? He says, "Absolutely nothing." Other Old Testament patriarchs demonstrate more solidarity with their fellow human beings. Do you remember, for instance, that episode where God was hell-bent on destroying the people of Sodom because of their wickedness? It was Abraham who wheedled and cajoled until God relented. It was Abraham who browbeat God, saying, "Do you intend to destroy all the people, the good along with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people living in Sodom?" "All right," answers God, "if there are 50 righteous, I will spare the town." So Abraham counters, "Suppose we come up short by a mere 5 people. Will you still destroy the town?" "All right," says God, "even if there are only 45 righteous, for their sake I will spare the town." "So what if we can only find 40? And so Abraham goes on haggling until he gets God to settle for 10 righteous people. 10 measly people. Think about it. With a little luck, I could probably find 10 righteous people right here in this congregation this morning. What a sense of compassion for his neighbors Abraham showed in standing up to God like that. And Abraham wasn't the only one. Do you recall that episode when the Hebrew people were wandering through the desert on their way to the Promised Land? While Moses was on top of Mount Sinai talking with God, the Israelites down below in the valley were worshiping the statue of the golden calf. When God saw their treachery, he howled at Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have acted perversely. Let my wrath burn hot against them so that I may destroy them." But Moses pleaded, "No, Lord, do not forget that you are the mother of these people. It was you who led them out of that house of bondage in Egypt. Give them one more chance." And so God changed his mind about the destruction he planned for his people. So Abraham haggled with God on behalf of the people, and Moses appealed to God's maternal instinct to save the Israelites. By contrast, Noah was as silent as the grave. He made not the slightest effort to save his fellow human beings. He did not care what happened to them. He was incapable of speaking to God meaningfully on their behalf. Noah may have been a righteous man, but he was not a good neighbor. And that's why he is not a good role model for Lent. Many Christians mistakenly conceive of Lent as a 7-week program of personal improvement. They think, "I'll make a good confession this Lent and get my life back on track." Or, "I'll lose a few pounds by giving up candy or Chardonnay." But Lent is not about focusing our gaze inwardly to see what needs improvement in our life. More than anything else, Lent is about looking outward toward that suffering world outside those doors. For centuries, the church has encouraged 3 venerable practices during Lent. I'm sure you know them by heart: prayer, fasting, and works of charity. So as we embark on our Lenten pilgrimage this weekend, let's pray, but not for ourselves. Instead, like Moses and Abraham, let's pray for our sisters and brothers. Let's pray, for instance, for the homeless or for people who wrestle with addiction. And let's fast also, perhaps one day a week, but not to lose weight. Instead, let's make some sacrifice with regard to food and drink to show God how troubled we are about gun violence in this country or about the plight of migrants who cringe in fear of deportation. And yes, let's perform our works of charity, perhaps by supporting organizations that do some good. But let's not forget also to direct our energies toward bringing about meaningful change in our city and in our country. As we journey toward the Victory Feast of the Lamb and Holy Week, let's pray, fast, and act charitably so that we might grow in compassion and become better neighbors in our world. Let us renew our profession of faith by praying together the Apostles' Creed, which may be found at number 175 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the 3rd day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, our communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. In mercy, God hears our prayers, and so we give voice to our needs and to the needs of the world.
Let us pray for deeper renewal in this Lenten season. May our journey to Easter make us ardent in love for God and one another.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for an end to gun violence in our country. May our nation understand the scourge of gun violence in our communities. May we pursue real and lasting change.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those tempted by drugs, alcohol, violence, or stealing. May this community be a place of support and rehabilitation.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the grace to rely solely on God. May we never count our own strength, but recognize God as our Savior.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the catechumens and candidates who will celebrate Easter sacraments. May they deepen their commitment to the ways of God.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sick, especially Liz Hines. May their fears be relieved and health be restored.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died, especially Elizabeth Lancer, Doris Brown, Barbara Sebuhar, Lawrence Hyde, Nan Harley, and those who died in Parkland, Florida this week. May they enter the life prepared for them in Christ Jesus.
We pray to the Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Merciful God, hear these prayers and all the prayers that we keep in silence, that we might know of your saving power. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our gifts will be brought forward by Stephen, Cheryl, and Charles Albin.
Number 484, Hosea. 484.
Back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear keep us apart. Trees to bend, though straight and tall, so must we to others fall. Waited for your coming, right, and living deeply our new life. The wilderness will lead you, and justice, tenderness, you shall rule. Long have I waited for your coming. Come to me and live in your new life. You shall sleep secure with peace. Faithfulness will be your joy. Long have I waited for your coming. Come to me and live deeply our new life.
Okay. My sisters and brothers, our simple gifts of bread and wine are now prepared. Pray with me that they be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Lord, accept these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this holy time of Lent. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord, by abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten.